T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. It's baseball season.
Guys, and he makes the catch.
So let's talk high school baseball with some of the best high school baseball coaches in the state of Wisconsin. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Now, here's high school insider, big time, Mike McGivern.
Hey, see what they can do.
We're talking football. We're not talking baseball. We are at the WFCA Combine out at Sussex Hamilton. It is the 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine, and I'm joined by my co-host. He is past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookville East, Tom Swiddle. Coach, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mike.
How you been?
I've been great, and thank you for doing a remote here at the Combine. This is certainly one of our signature events for the WFCA.
I think this is year four we've been out here.
Yeah.
And it's – look, the facility is perfect for this, and Coach John D'Amato allows us to come in here, and he works the event. He's joining us right now. John, first of all, it's good to see you. How you been?
Outstanding.
Man, thank you so much for letting us come out here. I don't know of a better facility in the state of Wisconsin to have a program like this, and you guys and your staff and the people here at Sussex Hamilton, you know, you guys open the doors and open your arms and say, come on out, we'll work with you. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it really puts it in perspective when you look outside and there's snow on the ground and we're in here, and it's just a great event for the kids. That's what it's all about.
Man, a couple of days ago, you know, when I'm snow blowing, there's no chance to do something like this outdoors. Tom, the amount of kids, and we're doing the line. You guys are I'm looking at the linemen right now, and there are some big, big boys from the state of Wisconsin. But the overall number of kids that are going to come through here today is what?
It's going to be right around 600.
Wow.
Right around 600. And the linemen group is our largest group. So and that's why we lead off with them. But, yeah, there has to be – what would you say, at least 125 linemen here, maybe more? I don't know. It's packed.
John, I thought they just let the pretty boys sleep in a little bit. You know, the quarterbacks and receivers got to get their hair done before they come. And these boys out here, man, they'll get up early. They don't have to worry about what their hair looks like. And, man, there are some – if you could pick out 10 of these to come to Sussex Hamilton.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
I tell you what. I don't know if we have enough food here at our concession.
Yeah, you've sold out everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got the breakfast burritos. I think those are going to be gone in about a half hour here when these guys finish up.
Well, hopefully that it's a fundraiser for the football program, because you're going to sell it, everything you've got. Tom, Next Level, again, has come out. This thing is running like really well. It's like a watch. They've got groups, different groups. They're in the weight room. They're doing their runs. They're doing all the stuff they have to do. And there seems like everybody is just right in sync.
Well, first of all, to have Brad Arnett and Next Level run this, you're talking about individuals who are, you know, at the very top of the mountain when it comes to strength and conditioning and that kind of thing. This is done so professionally, and we couldn't do it without Brad Arnett and Next Level. And it's really what separates this combine from a lot of other combines is college coaches have so much faith in the numbers that Brad and his crew come up with here. They know, like a 40 time, they know that's the correct 40 time. This
correct.
Isn't some fabricated 40 time that somebody can put on their recruiting profile, you know.
And when you talk about numbers for people that are just tuning in, you're talking about what they run the 40 in, how many times they're lifting weight. So when you talk about numbers, their size, how tall they are, how much they weigh, right across the board.
We measure really everything, height and weight. There's five different things they're doing out here, from running and jumping to weightlifting. So it's quite a look at each athlete here.
Hey, John, do you recommend, or do you tell the kids that play for you here at Sussex Hamilton that if they're looking to play at the next level, this would be a good place for them to be?
It is. I think every athlete's a little bit different. I think some kids need to get to the combine. Some kids, depending on how heavily recruited they are,
sure.
This is something that maybe you don't need to do.
Yep.
So you look at, for instance, you look at the running back at Menominee Falls.
Yeah.
He just got offers from Notre Dame, Wisconsin, LSU. No need to be going to this.
Right.
But guys that are right on the fringe, this is a really outstanding opportunity for them.
And look, that kid from Menominee Falls, he's one of 10 in the state.
Correct.
Everybody else
yep.
is, you know, a kid that might be right now talking to some Division III schools that really thinks, boy, I'd like to play Division II. They're Division II. They think maybe they could get to Division I. This is a perfect place for them. And then to get the numbers, the correct numbers, to be able to send out, it works out really well for these guys.
I tell you what, I have two athletes here today, and I lost my right tackle to four games with a high ankle sprain. And then my running back linebacker to a broken collarbone in week four. So they're both here, and, you know, they're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit, and they need to do well today because they don't have the film.
Yeah.
And they want to play on the next level, and they have the ability to play at the next level. So this is a great opportunity for them to get back on the map.
Do you know the other thing this does is now these kids who compete against each other for the most part, now, your kids that are here, man, the competitive juices, I'll tell you what, they're going to spend a little extra time in the weight room next week. They're going to spend a little bit extra time doing some stuff they have to do because now they're looking at guys they're competing with for to get not only on the field this year, you know, with in August, but then for the following year.
Absolutely. It's an eye-opener, I think, for everyone. You walk in here, and one of my guys, he's 6'5", but – He looked at me and he says, "I feel pretty average here," you know. And I said, "Absolutely." So, no, it's great. It really, you get to eyeball the competition and you get the competitive juices going. And the other thing that I see, these guys get to know each other, and I see guys from up north talking to guys in the southeast here, and just with social media and everything, it's just a great network.
Yeah,
it's really neat.
And, you know, you also have here a number of college coaches who are
right.
attending, and it's not unusual for athletes to be offered scholarships mm-hmm. right here at the Combine. I don't have any final numbers of, you know, how many college coaches are here, but last year we had in the area of right around 100 college coaches
yeah.
representing probably close to 40 schools that were here all the way from Division I to Division III.
Right, and you look around and there's college guys walking around, you know, taking a look. And then there's a lot of high school coaches that are here helping
yeah.
and volunteering their time. Coach Mass from Marquette is there waving. You know, a lot of these guys come out as part of the WFCA
yeah.
to say, hey, look, you need a few hours, you need me to come out and help. And they're
right.
here
and
all
some,
smiling.
And some of these coaches, high school coaches that are here helping out today have driven 3-4 hours to get here
right.
in order to do this. Yeah, we could not do this without the volunteer work of WFCA members.
John, how does this year's team, how are you guys going to be? What do you think? It's a tough conference.
Yeah, it is. You know, very optimistic. But, yeah, I think we'll be improved.
Good.
I think it's safe to say. So I got a great senior class. I really enjoy the boys quite a bit. But, you know, with agilities and change of direction stuff and the weights, it's great. And they've been doing a phenomenal job, but, you know, weights don't hit back.
No.
Yeah.
And schools in the GMC do. So,
but you know what? I'm just
we'll
going to throw in. I've had the opportunity to watch John and his staff work. And, you know, both in the off season and in season, and you're not going to find a finer staff, a harder working staff. I mean, they really get after it. And what I've noticed about the players here at Sussex Hamilton is that they cooperate, they work hard, and they want to be good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I appreciate that.
I always talk about when anybody asks me about the program, we came out on a Thursday night or I'm not quite sure. You played Milwaukee Riverside in a level three game.
Yep.
And I got here an hour and a half before, and your student section was filled. And the Riverside kids came, and they were running a lap to kind of get – and your fan base was going, hey, you know, welcome to Sussex, boy. And they're yelling back, and it was all like everything you hope as a high school,
yeah.
You know, just having fun, going at it a little bit.
Right.
But all clean stuff, all guys just it impressed me. This community really supports you, John, and your staff and this football team.
No, I really appreciate it. I'm very fortunate to be surrounded with such great coaches and a great administration team. And we do have support here. And the fan base is great. And we need to get back to those ways that we had that night.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was a great venue. It was something special. That was a lot of fun.
And I've always appreciated the sort of the competitiveness, both when I was at Wauwatosa East and Brookfield East. When we would play Sussex, you knew you were playing a team that, is well coached, and they were always great games.
Yeah,
always great games.
Man, we've the games we've done out here. I hope to get back out here soon on a Thursday night because the environment, the community really embraces. When we come out here, and it's always a really good game. John, thanks again. I really appreciate your willingness to come on the show and open your doors at this beautiful indoor facility to allow the kids from all over the state to come and try to get a chance to play at the next level.
I really appreciate it, guys. It's always going to be happening as long as I'm here, and they allow me to do this thing. So I appreciate it, fellas.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Tom, we got a good lineup. At 10:15, Coach from UW Platform. Mike Emmendorfer is going to join us.
Yes.
Alex James is going to join us. Is he coming here?
He's coming here.
That's also at 10:30. Tony Retsch, Raising Stakes Fundraising. I was at their leadership development seminar they had Thursday night, and we'll talk a little bit about that. It was really good. Jake Davis from Germantown was unbelievable. Boy, was he good. We'll talk to Tony. And then at 11:15, Adam Walker from Concordia University is going to join us. 11:30, Dan Freund from North Dakota. And 11:45, Tony McCudden from Next Level. Are you sure only one segment with him?
Any more than that, it would become the Tony McCudden show.
Yeah, at times it already is. Let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, we'll continue. Again, we're live at Sussex Hamilton for the 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine. And Tom Swill and I will continue talking to people that are here, some coaches, some parents, and we'll get you updated what's going on. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented, as always, by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton High School for the 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine. I'm Mike McGivern. Alongside my co-host, he's Tom Swiddle. We are joined by the head football coach at UW-Platteville. Mike Emmendorfer is here. Mike, it's good to see you. How you been?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today, gentlemen.
Yeah, we really appreciate your willingness to come on the show. What a great combine. What a great chance for our high school players in the state of Wisconsin to come show guys like you, you know, what they're made of.
This is an awesome event. Has the opportunity for our young men to continue to dream and be inspired to do great things in high school, but also dream about continuing to play in this great game of football. And that's what's exciting for me, is to see so many of these young men out here performing at a very high level, but also letting them know that area colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin within, you know, the Midwest are here to recognize their talent and give them opportunities here in the near future to be a college student.
Mike, you've driven quite a ways to get here, and you're certainly here looking at players. Do you have a list in mind? I mean, have you come here with specifically to look at some of the athletes you've probably seen who registered? I mean, what is your strategy here today?
Well, you know, overall, Division III recruiting, as I've been in the business for 30 years ago, typically recruiting was still going on at this time of year, and more now we're starting to identify sophomores and juniors. So we have established our junior list going into 2019 recruiting class. So we have identified a number of these young men. The great thing now with Huddle, you guys remember the days with VHS.
And, oh, do I ever.
you know, yeah. It was very tough to evaluate talent. Now with the combine and be able to look at their Huddle film before this event as well as after the event, because we're going to pick up some young men that maybe wasn't on our radar.
Yeah,
and we'll be able to see them run, jump, and do some of these drills that will put them on our radar. And the great thing then is we go back next week and reevaluate them on Huddle, and then we start contacting them and invite them into campus throughout the spring and the summer. And the biggest thing I worry about the recruiting process is I don't want these young men to lose focus of the most important thing, and is that that is their senior year. It's one of the best years of your life, and yes, think about playing college football, but I don't want to distract from their senior year. It's one of the best years of their life, and I want them to enjoy that moment. That's what I worry about in the recruiting process.
Yeah. And Coach, it should be said that you've been at Platteville for 18 years, and you have completely transformed that program. I mean, from where it was when you took over to where it is now, you know, you've been nationally ranked 4 out of the last 5 years, have been to the playoffs. I mean, all your hard work is starting to come to fruition here.
Yeah, you know, I give a lot of talks. I was a young head football coach in 1999. I thought it was all about schemes. And as I got mature and learned my lessons, it's really about the people, developing the great people. And we have a great campus, great education at UW-Platteville. We had to get our word out that we are, I think the word was out there with our great academics, but our football program. And we've done a lot of things with the facilities, and we're very proud of what we have accomplished the last 7 or 8 years. We've averaged around 8 victories a season, especially in this conference. And, you know, I think we're a program that's in the top 10. Unfortunately, we got 2 teams in our league that are usually in the top 5. And it's great coaching, great student athletes, and we're very proud, but I tell people all the time, I make a joke, I have a learning disability. It took me a little longer than most to build a program, but I'm happy, not satisfied. I'm happy where we are right now, but we're also excited for the future.
Coach, I was up in your neck of the woods taping a show that I do called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and I do a sports segment. So I got a chance to just hang out in Platteville for a while, and I drove through the campus. First of all, if you haven't been on the campus at UW-Platteville, it's a beautiful facility. It's a beautiful place that you play. I got a great vibe from the town itself. Really good people, hardworking people, and I just really enjoyed the time. Once you get a young man to visit that neck of the woods, I would think that you got a pretty good chance to convince him to come play for you.
Yeah, the city of Platteville's grown up. When I went there in 1999, we have 1 stoplight. Now we have 7, and we have a Dunkin' Donuts and a Burger King and McDonald's, and it's about 12,000 people. The campus has grown quite a bit.
It's
when
beautiful.
I first went there in 99, I think our enrollment was 4,500. We're now over 8,000 students. Platteville, if you talk to anyone, you're known for engineering, but we got a great criminal justice, great education, and so many other majors, along with ag and many other things that we can offer. So, and I have to mention education because my wife's a professor in the education department there too. So it is a unique place, and that's what's kept me there at Platteville for 19 years. Next year is going to be my 20th year, and that's unheard of in today's world, but I've learned if you're happy and you're excited and you're around good people, to me, that's what it's all about.
Hey, can I ask one last thing? Part of this show that we do with high school football, and this a long time ago when I started this, it wasn't like this is what I'm doing it for, but I had a college coach on, and I didn't do my research well enough to look at his roster. And when I had him on the air, out of 100 players, 3 were from the state of Wisconsin. And I just said, look, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And basically cut him loose and moved on. And I had so much response from that. And I think it's so important that we give our kids a chance that want to play at the next level to a chance to stay at home in the state of Wisconsin and have a chance to play. Looking at your roster, you guys have you guys recruit the state of Wisconsin heavily.
Yeah, we do, and we're unique where we're located. We're 20 minutes away from Illinois, 20 minutes away from Iowa. So we do have some young men that, you know, I always say your recruiting base in Division III is a three-hour radius around your school. And so you're going to see some young men. But we have a number of young men from the Eau Claire area, yep. Stevens Point, Racine, Green Bay. We have a young man from Kimberly we did a year ago. So we get some very good football players locally as well. We have a young man from Darlington and Platteville High School. So we are going to be very invested in the state of Wisconsin. It's just unique where our location is with 20 minutes away from the border of Illinois and yep. Iowa in southwest Wisconsin. We are going to at times draw some young men from Dubuque, Iowa.
Sure.
That's only a half an hour away and some other places from Illinois. But Wisconsin's great football. I've always said that Wisconsin's a really special place. When you look at the Wisconsin State Clinic and these combines, the coaching in Wisconsin is exceptional. But the commitment to high school athletics overall is really, really special.
Coach, for what it's worth, former player of mine, Drew Rakers, is in your program. And for me, when I think of a program, it's, you know, what do the kids say that are in the program? Drew Rakers loves it at Platteville, and he's quite a long snapper. And he had opportunities to go elsewhere. You know, late in the recruiting in his senior year, he had Central Michigan and other places, you know, asking if he'd be interested. And he was like, you know what, I want to go to Platteville. And I know he feels like he made the right choice. So whatever you're doing it right. And it's, again, a testimony of one of your players.
Yeah, Drew is exceptional. He is a 3.9 GPA on our football team. One of the best long snappers. I think Drew will have opportunities to play at the next level or at least get looks at. He was just elected a captain. So, Coach, credit to you. And he's going in his junior year. You don't find too many football teams that the long snapper – by his peers, gets elected a captain.
That's yeah. fantastic.
Very
so. He leads a Bible study of our football team for the ones that want to participate. He's just a natural leader. He's a great person. That's something we focus on. And he's just a solid young man. And he comes from a great set of parents.
Yep.
I know them very well. You know, again, I don't know if there are too many college programs out there that can say they're long snapper. Is a captain.
Yeah, not
elected
many.
By his peers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Coach, last question. Looking at your background, your son was on your staff for a little bit. I don't know if he still is.
No, he just got a full-time job. My wife and I are so excited. He was a GA, and if you know about college coaching, when they're a GA, they don't get paid very much right. money, so they're still on your payroll. So he just got a full-time job at Grinnell College, a very elite school, academic school in the state of Iowa. And so he's 24 years old.
Good for him.
He played over in Germany. We went over there last summer and watched him play. My daughter's a sophomore on the women's basketball team. I'm the only one in the family without a UW-Platteville degree. My wife got her master's at Platteville. My son graduated from Platteville. My daughter's about to graduate. So they tease me that I'm the only one in the family without a Platteville degree.
How awesome is that? You get to get a chance to watch your daughter play.
I'm honest about this. I've had some opportunities to move on bigger schools, but I tell recruits this. If Notre Dame called me and offered me a quarterback position, I would not take it. I will not leave my daughter. I enjoy the fact of watching her play. I did when she was in school and high school. She ran track for Rob Saris at Platteville High School and played basketball and volleyball and my son. And so the family aspect is very important, and it's something that I enjoy, and I'm glad that she chose Platteville so we didn't have to travel too far, but we do still travel around the state of Wisconsin.
You bet.
Some of the coaches get nervous. The Whitewater coaches see me there on a Wednesday night walking around their facilities. They think I'm trying to steal their recruits. I'm like, no, I'm just here to watch my daughter play basketball.
That's awesome. He is Mike Emmendorfer. He's a head football coach at UW-Platteville. Mike, it's good to see you. Have a good time. Get a chance to look at all these kids from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And give them a chance to play at the next level.
Well, besides this is awesome that you guys are here talking about this event and letting people know what a great opportunity. And I know my son went off to a combine, a couple different ones, and this just started up a couple years ago, right?
Correct, yeah.
And so these young men, they don't show up, but they're awfully nervous if they were like my son. But they're excited for this opportunity. It's just a great event. So thank you for everyone that did everything setting it up.
Thanks Mike. Coach. I really appreciate it. Get to a break. Other side of the break, Alec James. He's getting ready for the NFL draft.
He's
here, and it's a good-looking kid, man. I look forward to talking to him, and we'll do that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton High School, 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine. We are now joined by Alec James. He was a Brookfield East grad, Wisconsin grad, getting ready for the NFL draft. And what a nice young man he is. Alec, thanks for stopping by. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me. Yeah? I appreciate it, yeah.
I said, hey, man, good choice to go to Wisconsin. He said, yeah, I had a lot of fun. We won a lot of games, which is exactly what you're hoping for. No doubt. The career that you had at Wisconsin, you had a phenomenal football career. The academic side took care of your business?
Yeah, that was kind of the big thing for me coming in. A lot of people don't even know it. My freshman year of high school, I don't even know if Coach Swiddle knows, I had a 1.8.
Are you
and
kidding?
Yeah, I just didn't want to do school. It just wasn't for me. And then I remember telling my mom, and she wasn't even mad. She was just disappointed, and that kind of just
That's
killed
the worst.
Me. It was the worst. Yeah. So after that, I started getting recruited, and coaches didn't like the fact that I had a 1.8 my freshman year. So after that, I didn't get below a 3.0, and then coming into college, it kind of taught me to start off strong. And then I was in through my time in college, I was on the dean's list.
Good for you.
Academic All Big Ten 3 times, so it was. Yeah, I learned my lesson early about the importance of academics.
I've been a high school basketball coach for a long time, and I hope some of these kids I'm coaching are listening to this, because they're now juniors and they're still at that 1.8, 2.0, and they're saying, Coach, why am I not getting recruited?
Yeah.
Well, there's 15 other kids that are the same level that you are that are 3.4s.
Yeah.
And these college coaches look at those kids and go, look, I bring them on campus. I don't have to worry about that stuff. So good for you. How were you able to multitask to be able to keep all that? Was that a difficult part your freshman year?
It wasn't too bad, just because when you first come in to Wisconsin, they have such a big support system that you don't really have much free time, because everything's allotted for something like tutors or study table or meeting with academic advisors and things like that. So they kind of help you through it. And plus my time at Brookfield East, that was a good high school, so they kind of got me college ready.
It's a great high school, you bet.
Well, and you know, obviously Alec went to Wisconsin, and again, he had a great career. It was all Big Ten last year. But, you know, what's lost on people is the fact that Alec was a national recruit. Alec was
the
player of the year in our state, and I'm just going to list some of the schools, Alec, because I was intimately involved in some of that. I mean, Notre Dame, Clemson, TCU, Oklahoma. I mean, you're talking Alec could have gone anywhere he wanted to.
In the country.
In the country, and he chose Wisconsin, and I know he's never looked back.
Do you know guys like me that sit and talk about this stuff all the time? We're holding our breath because we wanted you to stay here. We want you to stay in town, stay in state, go to Madison. And then it started coming out, and all the rumors started. He might go here. He may decommit and go here. And you were a Wisconsin kid. I mean, you made that decision. You stuck with it.
Yeah, so for me, when Coach Bielema left, I took a visit to Oregon. And
you loved that visit, be honest.
That was the only
place you went, Alec, where you were, like, excited was Oregon.
Yeah, it was real, real cool. But when I was out there, the funny thing was, I kept finding myself comparing everything back to Madison, and I remember one of the players was telling me about something in Eugene, and I kept saying, like, well, back in Madison, we got this, and I was like, well, if I'm saying we, that must be the school for me.
That's awesome. Well, I know the Badger fans were you know, all over the state were happy when you made that decision.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is for another show, but I'll have to tell you about a very heated exchange I had with Gary Anderson he thought that Alec wasn't coming to Wisconsin.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, man.
I bet he wasn't happy at all.
Oh, he was yelling at me.
And he thought he was going.
I finally told him, you better settle down. you better settle down.
Hold on.
Because you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
But anyway.
Hold on. Hey, when you look back at your career and you look at some of these kids, their dream and the reason they're here today is to try to be the next you. I mean, that's what they're thinking in their mind. If I can impress some of the people here and try to get to that next level, and then I can become the next Alec James. When you look back at your career at Wisconsin, is there one game or is there one place that you got to go to with a bowl game that you would say, look, these are, you know, one of the highlights of my career at Wisconsin would be this?
I would say the biggest highlight for me, like aside from running out of the tunnel and all that kind of stuff, was winning the Cotton Bowl and just seeing all the confetti fall.
Yeah.
It was like slow motion and like just the pure happiness in everyone's face and everyone's playing with the confetti, doing like snow angels and things like that.
it was awesome.
It was a real, real surreal moment. And just like I said, it kind of just was in slow motion. I was just catching it, like soaking it all in.
That's good stuff. The transition from – now you redshirted your freshman year. Mm-hmm. Transition from going high school to college. For kids that are listening or kids that are here at the Combine, what was the most difficult challenge of that for you?
So for me, I was playing a new position. I came in as an outside linebacker in a 3-4. And that was probably the biggest transition because I didn't really know much about dropping back and coverage and all that kind of stuff. I'd always played defensive end and running back, a little linebacker, but – it was mostly just learning that new position and the speed of the game. And, you know, I would say to a lot of kids, redshirting isn't the end of the world. That's kind of where you learn how to manage not only the football side of things, but the school side of things as well.
You know, I gave your high school football coach a little bit of stuff about putting you in the backfield. I said, you're giving him the ball? You know what his answer was? Wouldn't you? I go, yeah. No, you're right. Yes I would. No,
yeah, Mike, that's fun. Just called good coaching.
Really?
That's just called give it to Alec James.
The biggest, the fastest, the best, and you're going to give him the ball. He goes, yeah, wouldn't you? And I thought, yeah, I guess probably I would. Did you like playing on that side of the ball?
Yeah, it was fun. It was kind of a changeup because I'd only played – like youth, I was playing O-line just because of the weight restrictions and all that kind of stuff. And then I always would return punts because that was the kind of the way around the weight restriction.
And your coaches, that's good coaching, too.
Yeah. Where were you coaching him in grade school?
No, but that was good youth coaching
really
there.
So I got a taste of having the ball in my hand. It was fun.
I'm just punting right out of bounds, man. I would just do not kick that ball. Yeah. Kick that ball straight. Hey, the band of brothers – the guys that you graduated with, the guys that went through the wars with you, you guys will be friends for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You became friends with the Brooks Central guy, too, didn't you?
Yeah, Chikwe. He's doing real well.
Hey, man, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, we keep each other at a distance, but we're cool.
When you think of that Friday night when you were at Brook East – playing against Brooks Central, I try to tell kids there's nothing better. And in basketball, rivalry game on a Friday night, the place is packed. Those high school days, man, do you miss those?
Yeah, I actually I did an interview for J.P. Cadoran with Spectrum Sports, and I was going through some of my old pictures to send him, and I came across the ones from that game, and
oh,
I was just kind of reliving it and thinking about how fun it was. There were so many people in the stands, and it was a fun game. And we won, so it was good.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we've talked a lot about Alec right now as, as a football player and an athlete. But, you know, as much as I will remember Alec for all of that, I think it needs to be said that Alec is truly one of the most humble and modest young men I've ever been around. For the notoriety that Alec had, and he earned all of that. He was just a very modest and humble guy, almost shied away from all the attention. And I think about some of the the recruiting trips that Alec and I took, and on occasion I would take my son, TC.
Sure.
And I just remember Alec always having time for TC. I mean, TC was like in sixth grade or whatever at the time, seventh grade, and was just in awe of Alec. And being on the sidelines at Notre Dame or Michigan State or wherever we were, Alec always made a point to include TC in the whole trip. And most kids wouldn't have done that.
No, and that comes from – you talked about disappointing your mom. That's where that comes from, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, your mom had obviously a huge influence on the kind of young man that you are and you became. And I'm around high school kids all the time. And you're right, Tom. Not everybody would do that.
No.
And it's not like he was forced to do it. It's just right. Who he was.
It was who he is. Yep.
That's the kind of kid you want in your program. You want him to be ambassador for who you are at Brookfield East, who you are at Wisconsin.
Right.
And he will always be known as a Wisconsin kid who stayed home and helped take that Badger program to the next level.
Yeah.
And what did you graduate with degree-wise?
I got my degree in personal finance and then a minor in leadership.
If I give you 100 right now, can you make it 150 before you get out of here?
Try.
Or what?
I can't promise anything.
No, you'll just get in the car and drive home. Say, sorry. No, the stock just bottomed
just
out.
Dropped.
So you've got – if your dream, which is to play at the next level, and I believe that you will, and I know Coach Swiddle believes that you
will.
Whenever that day ends, you're ready to take on another chapter.
Yeah, so the people at Wisconsin, one big focus for them was always kind of life after football. And same with my dad. He would always preach to me having a backup plan because, I mean, it's not really if you'll get hurt is when. So, and kind of the injury severity and things like that. So I've always been ready for life post-football.
If you could close your eyes and choose, you play for one team, where would you go?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, does it?
No, not yeah, that's a lot of people ask me that, and as long as I get an opportunity, that's all that matters to me.
Well, but you've told me that, you know, the Bears have been probably the team most talked to you, and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I talked to them, the Dolphins, a few other ones within the past couple weeks. So we'll see what happens
Where are you going to be draft night?
I'll be in Iowa, Cedar Falls, Iowa, with my family down there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for stopping by. Good luck
in
the future. And when football stops and you start doing the financial thing, please reach back out to me. You're a guy I trust.
I appreciate
it. He keeps asking me to give. I'm not giving him 100. I would give you 100. He is Alec James, just a proud Wisconsin Badger. And we're really proud of him and the things that he's accomplished, not only on the football field, but off the field as well. And he's a really nice young man. He's the kind of kid that you're going to root for no matter, well, not the Bears, but anybody other than the Bears. It's good to see you. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to be talking to Tony Resch from Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We are live, Sussex Hamilton, for the 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented, as always, by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. We are live, Sussex Hamilton High School, 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is the past president, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East. How nice of a kid is Alec James?
He's the best.
Holy cow.
I mean, and I meant that when, you know, that is a humble young man.
Look, if you want somebody, and I said this as well, to be a good ambassador for your high school, your program, your college, the state of Wisconsin, standing right there.
Yeah.
That's the kid. He's
that's who you want your son to be.
I was really
right
nice to him because I'm going to end up working for him one day, and so I figured I better be nice to him right now. And so when I come in to interview with whatever company he's running, that I can get a job. I could get a job now with Raising the Stakes Fundraising, I think.
Maybe.
Love to have you, Mike. Love to have you.
I think. I rip on him a lot, so we have fun going back and forth. He's a sponsor of this show, And with guys like – without guys like him, we couldn't do this kind of stuff. So I want to thank Tony Rush, Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. Got a chance to go to one of your events on Thursday. And, look, I thought all the speakers were great. Jake Davis, head football coach at Germantown. Whew, wow, was he good.
Yeah, Jake asked if he could lead off the night. And, you know, obviously as a coach, he talks to parents and kids all the time. But that was his first big introduction into having a room full of people that he didn't know to be able to do some presenting. And blown away. I mean, the powerful message that he had, sharing the stories that he shared and talking about the influences, you know, the Phil Dadkas of the world that influenced him to be a better man.
Dave
not
Keel.
Only football, yep. and Dave Keel and those guys. You know, that you were there. That's exactly what we do, why we do what we do, to hear stories like that to impact other people.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would go to an event like that and cry. Jake Davis, I'm telling you, and you know what, he can, if you get a chance or you want to know the story we're talking about, he brought me to tears. And he said, let me tell you, and he cried. His wife was there, his father was there, and he said, but let me tell you what I've learned from that, from this event in my life. And they went on to talk about the leadership side of it and the servant leadership and the family side of it. And he, look, I've had Jake on the show. He I think he's a great guy. He's but to listen to him and tell the story and the impact that these kids have on his life, it was incredible. Thanks for the invite, by the way. It was a really good event.
Yeah, I always love having everybody that wants to come there. I mean, this is open to coaches. It's open to the public. And our influence meetings, what they're all about is sharing those stories and coaches, what they do for deliverables that make a difference. And obviously Coach Davis shared with the impact that his kids, the love that poured out for his tragedy that he had happen.
Right.
You know, the family theme is – man, it's what we do, what we do.
Yeah, he's about 20 yards from us right now with this 8-month-year-old boy.
Yeah, little Jace is here.
Yeah.
Cute little guy.
It's awesome. And he realizes, look, there are times, and I think, Coach, Tom, you'll understand because it's happened to all of us, where there are times that we're so ingrained in what we're doing as a coach and what we're trying to accomplish that we kind of forget about some really important part of our lives.
Yeah, you can really lose sight of those kinds of things when you get wrapped up into coaching.
Yeah.
Everything else seems more important than that,
right.
And it really isn't. And I just commend, excuse me, Tony for putting on an event like that. That says a lot about Tony as an individual, too. And I've had the opportunity to work with Tony Resch and Raising the Stakes for a number of years. And not only have we reached every fundraising goal we've ever set with Tony, but it's that other side that, I mean, Tony really cares about individuals. And he really cares. When he's talking leadership, he means that. He wants to develop leaders, you know, develop young men into leaders.
Well, it's interesting because on the youth sports show and on this show, when I talk to people about, you know, their youth program and how they're raising their funds and stuff like that, it's so easy for me to say to them, give Tony Resch a call. You know, you're doing all this other stuff and you're putting all this sweat equity time into it rather than running your program, and you need to raise money, just call him and he will teach you and show you how to make the money that you need.
Yeah, and I appreciate the compliments and the kind words and you having people reach out to us. As many people as we can help, that's what we absolutely love to do. And we've got so much, you know, people think that we are all football, but we work with every sport, every nonprofit that needs to raise money, and we have a ton of different things. It's not just cookie dough and discount cards. We've got a couple of new things that I'd like to talk about.
Can we hold you on for another segment?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue talking to Tony Resch. He is, again, the owner, Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver. No.
Get that? Tony Resch, Mike Ceron. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton. Man, what a great indoor facility this is. 2018 WFC High School Football Combine. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. Tom, you got to feel really good about did you think when you started this a few years ago that you would be, you know, maxed out as far as the amount of kids and just how well this thing has been received?
I knew it would go to this level. It's just something that's needed, and under the great leadership of Tony Biolo, who is absolutely
I haven't seen him.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's running
everywhere
around
today. But under his leadership, you knew it was going to be a great event. And
I mean,
what makes this event is this facility. We couldn't do this without the cooperation and the generosity of Sussex Hamilton.
Well, and then, you know, these kids are in. We're in the indoor facility, and you walk down the hall, and that weight room.
Oh, isn't that something?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so you can get all of this in and done in one day.
Yeah.
And now the linebackers are out, and Tony made a comment, well, it's different body size. You know, these kids are a little bit lighter on their feet, these boys. And then the running backs are coming in. And the tight ends and quarterback
receivers and DBs are after that, and then the quarterbacks and tight ends.
And then at the end, they've got a passing drill.
Jeff Trickey will have the quarterbacks throw for the college coaches here.
We are also joined Tony Resch, who is, again, Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I just found out he's going to co-host a show with me. When is that?
Yeah, it's going to be
we'll see.
I got to think about this now.
Sometime in May.
Yeah.
Is it May 19th, Coach?
May 19th.
Oh, look at
that. It's the Saturday after Mother's Day. I'm going to be out in Vegas, and Tony has agreed to step in my place.
Okay, and that's fine, but maybe I should have some say in this thing.
26 years after I get my radio TV film or degree from Oshkosh, I get to actually co-host a show with you. Finally using my major.
My back is going to be hurting at the end of that day from carrying you, pal.
Amen.
I'm just kidding.
Amen.
Hey, Tony, before we went to a break, you said, look, you know, we do sell cookie dough and we raise a lot of money for people. There's some other programs that we're doing right now that there are some organizations and schools that are really getting involved in.
Yeah, so a couple things I wanted to share with everybody listening today. We have a brand-new partnership with Sendex Foods. As you know, a local grocer, fantastic people. And we have a new product. It's a Sendex card. It's a $20 product, and there's over $75 in deals on it, and it's going to be a great product. So anybody looking to raise money, want to do something simple and easy where you don't have a product delivery like cookies or pizzas or Kringles, which we also have available, you'll be able to take that card. Our profits will be 75% to 85%. Depending on the number of cards sold, and I guarantee you that product will be very popular. It's good at all 17 Sendex locations. So even if you live in one community that has a Sendex, if you have family and friends in another community, you'll be able to reach out to them, unlike some of our discount cards for football teams, which are very specific to communities. So we're excited about that. We also have a new cookie, a finished cookie in a tub that we have not only normal sales like cookie dough, but we have it on our new website on our page, where people can order it and have it shipped right to their house and still raise money for the people.
Tony, where
and I sampled those, by the way. At the,
they're pretty
a lot of them. I sampled a lot of them at the clinic.
They're very addictive. They're like
my wife
chips.
And I both enjoyed them.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic.
So where can people go to get more information on this?
They can go to our website, right. RaisingTheStakesInc.com. And steaks is spelled like the meat. It's a little bit of a play on words, but if anybody saw me, they would know that cookie dough and steaks are kind of my specialty. And they could also call me at 262-227-7732. We would love to help any and everybody. Again, youth, high school, churches, youth groups. We have the Racine County 4-H works with us, so
yeah,
anybody that needs to raise
You know
funds.
What, Tony, I send, and you know this, because we have this conversation a lot, but I know a lot of people that have or are in that the kind of that arena that you work in. But theirs is a job. That's what they do for their job. And then at 5 o'clock they go home and do whatever they do. This thing is important to you, and this is kind of like it weaves right into the fabric of who you are and what your life is about helping people, making sure that the next leaders in our community are coming from our high schools and some of our sports teams. You're also a parent now of a young man that just participated in this combine.
Yes, my son Mason's a sophomore at Homestead, and he's a D tackle. He also kicks and punts, but he was in the first group today with all the big guys, beefy guys out there, and competed. It was a great opportunity. I think as a parent, you want to see your kids compete, right? Whether they're a great athlete or an average athlete, but to come out here and put themselves up against the other guys that do what they do, to see where they stand, and it's a great measuring tool for them, to hopefully inspire them to work harder if they see kids that are more gifted and talented and stronger and faster and all that stuff. So today as a parent sitting here too watching it, I mean, impressive young man across the board. And to have the opportunity again to see all these college coaches that are here to come and look at these guys and get an idea. And, of course, they're paying attention to body language just as much as what they actually do out there. So from a parent's perspective, what a great opportunity. And Coach, I want to thank you and Matt for the recruiting tool to be able to do it affordably and know great people are behind that and to get that information out to those coaches as well. It's a great thing, so thank you.
Well, thank you. And yeah, we hope that the WFCA player profiles really takes off. We have about 165 of our combine participants, about 30% of the combine is elected to do a player profile. So as a parent, and, you know, you're already thinking about college, what are some of the thoughts in your mind? I mean, what when you think about college for Mason, what are some of the things that are important to you as a parent?
Well, for me, you know, and fortunately in what I do and the relationships with all the guys that I work with from a coaching standpoint, I know a lot of the college coaches that are here. For me, it's I want to – if my son is going to leave my house, I want to know that he's in good hands first and foremost. I want a coach that's going to care about my kid as much as I do and is going to hold him accountable and hold his feet to the fire and make sure he's doing what he needs to in the classroom. For me, that's the most important thing, because even if somehow, some way, he does become a professional athlete, at some day that's over. And you need to have that foundation. So I want him first and foremost to go to a school where he's going to be taken care of. And then certainly the athletic side of, you know, he's a very gifted kid. He's got to work a little harder. And when he figures that thing out, you know, sky's the limit. So
you would think coming to a combine like this, if that doesn't turn the light on for him to get him, you know, a little bit more competitive and get in the weight room, I don't know what he's walking around looking at guys that are sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and there are some gifted athletes that were out here.
Absolutely.
And you got to believe that he looked around and went, okay, all right, now I get it. It's just not the 9 or 10 or 12 guys I've got at Homestead. I look at all these guys.
Right.
So, you know, it's when that light goes on, he's going to be dangerous.
He is. I mean, the first and foremost, again, not only do I want him to go somewhere where I know I can trust, but Mason, more so than anything else, is a great young man. Teachers love him. Adults love talking to him. He goes up and shakes her hand with a nice firm handshake, and I couldn't be more proud of what a great young man he is. So that, again, to me is more important than a lot of other things out there in the world, too.
Yeah, I agree. How's business right now? Is this a good time of year for you?
Yeah, business is fantastic. You know, it's a cyclical business. You know, sometimes there are more sports going on than others. But for us, we've turned it into a year-round thing, again, with the leadership, the influence meetings. And again, for us, it's way more than just raising money. You know, anybody can drop off order forms and come back a month later and say, you know, here's your stuff. We try to take it to as deep a level as possible so that we can have that relationship and that connection and help people for the long term, not just the short term.
And, you know, something we haven't talked about today is your team Escape 262. How is that going?
I appreciate you bringing that up, Coach. It's going really, really well. Mike's been to our facility. Love to have you and the family out. But our coaches, Dave Keel and Mark Hoffman from South Milwaukee, and I could go on, they bring their kids out. We let them put the headphones on, much like I am right now, and we will let them watch. So they can see and hear everything that goes on, identify their better leaders, have some great laughs, because there's some stuff that happens in those rooms that's just quite funny. And then we have we do a little pizza buffet for the kids. It's very affordable. Our normal rates for anybody listening out there that just wants to come and play our escape rooms, Sunday through Thursday, we're at $25 per person. Friday, Saturday, we're at $30 per person. But we want, again, we're thinking about coaches. We're thinking about kids. We make it very affordable. So it's $15 as our student athlete special. And then if they want the pizza buffet, it's just an extra $5. We have Papa John's right next door to us. So it's very affordable at $20 a kid. You feed them, and they have a great experience. And we've got, again, a number of coaches that do our influence meetings will also come to Team Escape and share some leadership stuff with student athletes. And it's been extremely well received.
Hey, real quick, the leadership side of your business and what I attended on Thursday night, where did that start? How did that start?
My roommate from college, Pat Venable, who lives up in Appleton. Other than my wife, he's my best friend in life, and I've got a lot of great friends. But Pat is a huge servant leadership guy. He works has worked with guys from Festival Foods and Quick Trip and Southwest Airlines, where their mission is servant leadership. And because that was what he was into and just kind of my personality and wanting to give back, we just felt like, man, what a great tie-in to be able to not only do the fundraising side but add the leadership and add the helping building team culture and character in young people. And that's where it started about 3 years ago with our influence meetings, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow.
Boy, well, keep up the good work. Thank you. Tony, it's good to see you. We've become friends, and I mess with you a lot, but you know where my heart is at. I'm a big fan of yours, and I never get nervous recommending you for any of this stuff. So that's where this thing has gone. And anybody who says, look, we do this to fundraise, I go, why? Like, why? Why do you do that? Why don't you have Tony come in and take care of your stuff? So it's good to see you. Thank you very much. I guess I'll see you in May. I might be sick that day. We'll see.
Well,
I'm
if I have
kidding.
To do it all by myself.
Oh, no.
Just
got to
make
there.
Sure somebody knows how to push the buttons.
No. I'm feeling much better, by the way. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Adam Walker from Concordia University will join us. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. We're live at Sussex Hamilton High School, 2018 WFCA High School Football Combine. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, and our next guest, he's the defensive coordinator at Concordia University. He is Adam Walker. Coach, thanks so much for stopping by. How you been?
I've been doing well. Appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, for a college coach, to be able to come out to an event like this and to see all these Wisconsin student-athletes that are walking through trying to get guys like you to notice them, this is a good event for you guys.
Oh, it is. I mean, you get to see which kids are explosive, how they move, how fluid they are, and just sort of get a feel for their self-confidence as they walk around.
You know, we asked this question earlier of Mike Emmendorfer from Platteville, but have you come here today with a list of guys that you're looking at? Do you have sort of a recruiting list that you're working off of for today's event?
We do. I have one of our assistant coaches, Richie Donnell. He's a little encyclopedia or stat guy, knows almost every kid in the state. So I have him with me updating me on all the kids that we need to be paying special attention to.
Boy, you got to have guys like that, don't you?
Oh, you do?
Hey, I just got a text from Gary DePerry who asked me to please say hello to you. Got a lot of love and respect for you and your wife, and Gary's one of the good guys.
He is. I haven't talked to Gary in a while.
Well, he is one of the good guys. Let's talk a little bit about Concordia University. If we can, before, your background, Coach, where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Stuff like that?
I'm originally from New York. I grew up in the Bronx. I came out to Kenosha, Wisconsin to go to Carthage College back in the early 80s. Like I tell the kids, met my wife, game over.
Done. Now you're a cheesehead, brother. That's how that works.
I've been here ever since. So,
So you played football at Carthage?
I did. I was a quarterback, ran track. That's where I met my wife. She was a track athlete, national champ in the high jump. And then from there, I came to Milwaukee. Then I started playing with the Racing Raiders, a semi-pro team for a few years, and on to Milwaukee team semi-pro-wise while I was coaching high school football.
Where were you coaching high school?
I started coaching as an assistant at Washington under Greg Lehman.
Good guy to start under. That's a good man there.
I learned a lot in just that 1 year. You know, when I went there, he asked me what I played. I said I played quarterback. He said, okay, you're coaching linebackers.
That's awesome.
That's Greg.
You know? That's awesome.
But it opened my eyes up to understanding the other side of the ball and things in that nature. And then I went to coach at Custer. And then when I left Custer, I got the head coaching job at North Division High School.
Man.
And then from North to Vincent. And then on to college.
Man, different animal coaching in college. You know, I'm a high school basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you guys do at the college level obviously is quite a bit different than what's being done at the high school level.
Well, high school, you get what you get. I mean, I can go back today to coach high school. I loved high school football. But the kids that you have is what you have. The beauty of college is this event here. You get to go and select and put your puzzle together of what you want and what you need, you know. So that's the fun part, the recruiting part, the getting kids to fit into your program philosophy and those kind of things.
Now, you coached with head coach Greg Etter at Carthage.
Yep.
And he talked you into moving with him to Concordia? Or
He did not. I have to tell everybody that. I left and went to Concordia to become the head track coach for about 6 years.
Oh, okay.
And then he followed me.
So okay.
Yeah, he's got to thank you then.
So,
hey, Coach, if somebody asks you the type of defensive coordinator you are, what your philosophy on coaching that side of the ball, what do you tell them? Do you bring your D-backs up and are you bump and run? Do you blitz a lot? Do you stay in your lanes? What kind of defensive coordinator would you consider yourself?
I would say I'm a pressure guy. Our really good teams, we were able to have – good man-to-man coverage guys. When you have that, you can do a lot more. When you don't have that, you have to sort of work on zone blitzes and zone pressures and go in that area. That's where we've been for the last few years, but I think we're getting back to the point where we're starting to get a few dudes.
Yeah.
Who can?
You got to get some dudes, man.
Who can cover up, and I'm excited about where our defense is going.
Great. And, you know, I looked at your roster in preparation for the show today, and obviously you have a lot of Wisconsin guys, but I look at some of the other states represented on your roster. You guys really recruit nationwide.
We do. Myself and my other little coach here, Richie, we have Southeast Wisconsin, New York, pretty much east of Wisconsin. Then we have a couple of coaches in California. Another coach in Texas and Colorado. And I think it's best. There's so many quality colleges here in Wisconsin that you almost over-recruit each other and trying to get, you know, the best of the
dudes. So, you got to get the dudes, right? So,
I remember talking to Coach K over at Carroll, and it was – I think I was at Tulsa East at the time. And anyway, I remember him saying to me, he goes, you know, if every kid I talk to ends up going to Whitewater like they say they're going to go to Whitewater, they're going to have 110 freshmen out for football. And you're right. I mean, it's like in our state, everybody recruits the same kids, and it's just a tough
It's a tough
goal.
Sell. It's a tough sell. What we try to sell the kids on is the fact that we do have a team GPA of 3.0 with 100-plus kids every year. Since Coach has been there, I want to say 98-99% of the kids have graduated.
Wow.
You know, so those are things.
That's a big number.
Those are big sales for the parents.
Yeah.
More so
sure.
than a lot of the kids. But, and then on top of that, you know, we look to be one of the conference favorites every year.
Right.
Now,
and one of the things that, I'm sorry, Mike.
No,
one of the things that I think helps sales Concordia are your facilities. You have just tremendous athletic facilities on campus. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, when I came in February 12, 2006, the president promised to upgrade the track and other facilities, and he's been true to his word. I mean, our president is a sports fan, and they've built something new pretty much every year I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, build it, they will come. And
they do.
I think it's helped quite a bit.
This is how old I am. I remember when Concordia was on State Street in Milwaukee.
Two of us.
Yeah, in the early 80s, I actually interviewed there with Andy Luptak, the defensive coordinator's position.
Okay.
And the only reason I didn't do it is because he didn't have a job for me on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was a long time ago. It was, you know, I know it's got to be about 83-ish, something like that probably.
Yeah, now you go out there, and I'm, like I said, a basketball coach, so I get – we're part of the WBUI shootout.
Mm-hmm.
A big fan of Sean Cassidy and David Cooks and the guys running the basketball program. But you go out there, and you forget how beautiful – you go in the back where the lake is and the bluffs, and you forget how beautiful that whole area is. And there's and they do a really nice job, I think, of giving their kids on campus chance to get involved in a lot of different things. And I'm a big fan of Concordia University. I think that you guys do it right. And like Tom, I looked at your roster, and part of this show is we want to showcase and highlight some of these kids that want a chance to play at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And if they truly are in love with football, good student athletes, there's a place for all these kids.
Oh, without a doubt. I think kids often get excited about the Whitewaters and the Oshkosh, and deservedly so. I mean, quality programs. But there are a lot of quality private schools here in Wisconsin in which you can come be that big fish in a small pond and get a chance to play quality football, get a great education, and do the things that you want to do.
Surround yourself with really good people.
Yes.
I mean, the people I think at Concordia – the reputation of the staff and the administration there is they care deeply about these kids. And I think that as a parent, that's really important for us to know that you guys are going to take good care of our kids. Our kids got to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to do this stuff for them, but you're going to be there to help support in any way that you can.
Well, that's why I love my head coach. I mean, his philosophy. Our pride concept of personal responsibility and daily effort, our kids have bought into that. And like he tells the parents, you know, or tells most people, kids don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. The kids in our program know that the coaches have a genuine care for them. And we're going to hold you accountable. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You know, but if you need something, we're going to be there for you to help you get out and graduate in this most important part. These kids want to play professional football. if it happens, it's going to happen. You know, it's a lot different than back in the day when I had reel-to-reel. They have YouTube and Huddle and all kind of different things. You know, and if you can play, you can play. And if you can't,
you got a chance to play a little bit, right?
Sure.
The Vikings?
Short-lived.
It doesn't, hey.
Doesn't matter, man.
You may have been short-lived, but you put on that uniform, didn't you?
It was exciting.
Man, good for you. He is Adam Walker, defensive coordinator at Concordia University. Man, if you get a chance, go on their website, their athletic website. Read his bio. this is a good guy, man. Maybe didn't come from Wisconsin, but he's here to stay. He is here to stay. He's a Wisconsin guy now. Adam, it's good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach.
We get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk to Dan Freud. He is from North Dakota University. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development, live at Sussex Hamilton for the WFCA 2018 High School Football Combine. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's Tom Swiddle. Now joined by Dan Freund, who just found out that his dad, longtime coach at St. Joe's, and we're all kind of talking about Coach Swiddle's at Dominican. I went to Messmer, coached basketball at Dominican. Now Martin Luther is in the St. Joe's Conference. And I think I said, man, we always kicked St. Joe's, but I don't think that's the case.
I think I was on the sidelines in some of those games. I was the ball boy. I was getting in the way, you know, catching the field goals and all that stuff.
The field goals we were kicking?
I mean, we were kicking the extra points. We were scoring touchdowns.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, you know, I got a guy I work with who's a St. Joe's guy.
Really?
Yeah, Alex Zolan. He always – when he listens, if I give any smack to St. Joe's, I start getting text messages. So I have nothing
Turn
but love.
Turn your phone off.
Nothing but love for the Lancers right now.
I got a lot of great memories of that league, the old Metro. You know, Marquette, Pius, Thomas Moore, Dominican. Martin Luther.
That was brutal.
It really was.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when I cut my teeth in coaching in the early 80s, I was the head coach at Dominican starting in 83. And had been an assistant there prior to that. I think about the other coaches in that league. Your dad, Bob Letch,
Bill Young,
Jim Haluska, Dick Bash.
Here
I was, 24, 25 years old. I didn't know a damn thing. And I'm coaching against these guys. I got a lesson in a hurry.
And speaking of that, my dad played at St. Mary Springs
for Bob Hyland.
Yeah. Hyland it started, my dad's junior, senior year, I think that was Highland's like first couple years, and he said he was young and just he's still going. But
still he sure is.
I mean, he was on fire. We're kind of like the Vince Lombardi of Wisconsin high school.
Yeah, there's some high school coaches up there that don't like him much.
Oh.
And I go, why don't you? Well, I know why they don't like, because he wins all the time.
And they're tough.
And they're tough kids.
Discipline and all that.
You know, you get a program to that level, the freshmen coming in know exactly what's expected from them. Stuff like that. Hey, thank you so much for stopping by. A combine like this for a guy like you. What do you coach at North Dakota?
I coach the wide receivers.
Okay.
Yep.
So those boys are coming up next.
Yep. And we all have kind of areas that we recruit, and I recruit Southern Wisconsin for our program. Obviously, with the ties, that makes a lot of sense.
So this is perfect for you.
It's great for us, and these are so important because. We get out to the high schools, visit with coaches, try to evaluate, some guys that have workouts in the spring. But in order to, you can see so many guys in the same spot, go through the combine testing that we do at our summer camps, a couple months before that, and you can kind of start to pinpoint guys and kind of build your recruiting boards. And Wisconsin's a great state for talent. And we talked about the high school coaches. It's not just the upper levels, too. You can find kids from Division 5, 6, 7, and
it's
across the board, great coaches. You find a lot of kids in this state that are three-sport athletes that have a lot of potential and upside to be great college football players.
Well, and one of the reasons why this combine is so popular is we get Division I coaches like yourself that comes and looks at these players.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a mini NFL combine, so to speak. You get your eyes on a bunch of guys, and obviously if you have aspirations to play college football, there's not a better way to get in front of coaches than to come to these things. And it's just being in North Dakota, being around Minnesota, some of the surrounding states, a lot of those coaches associations are like jealous of how good that Wisconsin, they're trying to replicate this in other states because they know the exposure that it provides and the work you guys put into it. So it's really good.
Coach, how long you been at North Dakota?
I've been there 7 seasons. So this will be my 8th year. I played there too.
Oh, you did. Where did you coach prior to that?
I was at one season at Carthage College in Kenosha after I graduated from UND. I went back to UND in 2011, so I've been there since then.
So you had a chance to kind of go home where you played college.
I lived at home for a year and a half, and I was in the business world for about a year, and I said, I don't want to do this. I want to be like my dad, and I want to coach football. And I always knew I wanted to coach, but I wasn't sure which level, but that's kind of what I realized. I'm going to go be a GA and then kind of work my way up. And
man, good for you.
Yeah, it's been good.
And Coach Freund is quickly establishing himself as one of the top coaches that comes in the state to recruit, without question. I mean, your reputation, Dan, is incredible. And there's, and I know that North Dakota is just a quality program, and you've gotten a number of Wisconsin guys through the years.
Yeah, and it's got to continue that way. North Dakota is a great state, but the population's just not, for Division I talent, so Minnesota, Wisconsin are huge for us, and especially Wisconsin. We've had a lot of tradition there. Like, we have 3-4 starters on our team right now from Wisconsin, guys that were at this combine 2-3 years ago.
That's awesome.
And we've got 6 coming in the 2018 class.
No kidding.
Guys that will be there in July, and a couple from Sun Prairie, a couple from the Milwaukee area, and throughout the state.
Man, good for you. Toughest part of your job, Coach, is it this time of year? Is it during the season? And I'm wondering, I asked this question in the youth sports show, that dude, what keeps you up at night?
The tough. I wouldn't call it tough because it's a job. We're coaching football and being around coaches. It's your dream to kind of do that stuff. But it kind of goes in cycles. It's nothing's ever the same. I like this time of year because you're out, visiting with high school coaches, meeting new, potential guys. But the being away from your family, that's the tough part. But in season, the longer hours, obviously in the fall. But yeah, you're also playing football, and you guys know how that is. That's where you want to be.
Wife and kids?
Yep. Wife, two kids, 3 and a 1-year-old.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we're all over the place right now.
I say it a lot, but there's a special place in heaven for coaches' wives, man.
They got to be really, they're independent and tough, and she's hardworking, and she's training for a marathon right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive what they do. So you're blessed in that regard because you can't do it without a special one at home. So that's impressive.
You've got such great things to look forward to with a 1 and a 3-year-old. Yeah. My kids are older. I've got 3 grandsons that live across the street. Tom's not to that point yet.
Not yet.
Kids are gone. His son is playing college football. But there's so many great things for you to look forward to, and being able to coach and make sure that you take care of what you have to take care of at home, I'm sure, is something your father's talked to you about.
No question about it. And he's kind of the one you look up to, the role model that the guy you look up to the most. And you kind of model how you do things as a coach after kind of what you saw on the sidelines when you were younger. It's just kind of how you treat players, how you develop relationships, how you go about teaching the game. That's what's special about it.
Coach, what do you, for when you come to a place like this, well, I always wonder, through your eyes, what are you looking for?
That's a good question. It's a lot of recruiting is projecting because, you want them to be able to play their best football when they're in college. Obviously they're good high school players, but you look at body types, you look at guys that can move. You want those 3-sport athletes that are, doing different types of movements.
And
basketball's a big one. Track and field's a big one. Just guys that can, with their hips, open up and bend a little bit. And obviously, you're looking for the obvious, the speed, the height, but there's some other things that you can kind of project and say, hey, he's going to be at this weight in 3 years, or he's going to, be able to play this position. And sometimes it's maybe not be the position they're playing at high school, but you kind of say, hey, he would be a good – this receiver might be a good DB. This backer might turn into a DN. Just kind of, evaluate, just kind of looking and being open-minded with how you approach it, I think, is important because – some guys lift a lot in high school, some guys don't. It's some guys have that luxury of this weight room right here.
Oh my goodness.
we don't want to recruit anybody from this program because our weight room's not as nice as this one. I know that.
I don't think Coach D'Amato would like to hear you say that, but I kinda get it because this facility, you're gonna take a step down. You go to a lot of places.
I hear you. I'm 100% with you.
At North Dakota, you've got a really nice facility.
We do. We have a great indoor facility. We have great alumni, great support, and we're only on the way up. It's very good spot.
If I were to ask you, if you were to look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, being a head coach is something obviously you're hoping for.
No question.
Are you starting to develop what type of head coach you're going to be?
Yes, you always are, and you're always kind of with coaches that you meet and just different experiences that you've had. You kind of, you got to stay true to yourself and your personality, but you also kind of you're always studying guys, whether it's press conferences, whether it's watching, going to practices and just learning and growing. I think the game's always changing, and you're always trying to kind of stay with it and continue to learn and grow and learn new things. And when you don't do that, I think you fall behind.
You always play a Power 5 school, one of the big kind. Who do you guys have on your schedule next year?
University of Washington. We go out to Seattle and play them the second game of the year. So they'll be top 10 in the country. They got the quarterback, Browning, I think, coming back. He'll be a senior and a Heisman candidate. So
I'm surprised he's coming back. I thought maybe he'd step in.
Yeah,
but
they have so much skill. Last year we went out to Utah, played Utah tough. A couple years ago we went out and beat Wyoming. And they got that quarterback that's coming out this year. So that was kind of our big win as a program was to go beat FBS Wyoming. And we've got a couple Big Tens on the horizon. I think Nebraska down the road. And, so that's kind of where
Coach, really quickly, if you could sit in front of all these high school student-athletes and tell them what it takes to not only compete at the next level – but to be able to multitask, take care of their schoolwork. You know, what's your, when you're in the kitchen, what's your sales pitch as far as to these kids on what it takes to go to the next level?
Yeah, I think it's just, and it's got to start with being a good person, you know, being a good teammate, being a good guy in the community, doing what's right in the classroom and, you know, just outside. Because I think everything in your life kind of carries over to the football field. And we tell our guys that all the time. When our team GPA goes up, our wins are going to go up. You know, it's, we're doing the right things in the community, you know. And you're developing that chemistry with your teammates. The more I'm in it, the more you realize that everybody's going to have talent. It takes the elite locker room and the leadership piece, and that's the type of stuff you kind of study and try to ask coaches about when you're out recruiting. Hey, how is this guy, you know, how is he in the locker room? How is he in the school? How does he treat, you know, his parents or his friends? That's the stuff you can kind of separate guys with.
Man, I appreciate that because – you know what? There are some players I've had over the years to coach basketball that don't understand when they're getting recruited why a college coach comes 25 minutes early, because they want to see how you interact when you're warming up. They know you can play. You're already on their radar. When I pull you out of a game, do you walk past me because you're ticked off at me? They look at me like I'm a crazy old man. You don't know what you're talking about. Look, if you're 6'11", okay, you can get away with that.
Oh.
You're a 6'1 guard with a 2.3 grade point average, and you're going to blow me off?
Yeah.
No.
That's a good point, because this is one of the things you watch for at these camps and these combines is if a kid has a bad rep or he's getting coached, how does he take coaching? Or how does he respond when things don't go his way? And you can really see it, because that's the adversity you're going to face. It's coming,
right,
regardless, you know, when it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and you got to have kids that can handle that and take coaching and be able to learn and grow from it.
Hey, why do they have the pretty boys come last here? Those receivers and quarterbacks.
I think Tricky's going to be out there throwing the ball,
that's
man.
I
used to work his camps. He's awesome. Still got it. He's doing the five-step, three-step, sprint out.
They make us big boys come early, get out of bed. We never, you know, you don't worry about your hair, but all the boys putting the gel in their hair, they're coming next.
That was me back in high school. I don't have it anymore. It's gone, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, Coach, thank you for being on with us today, and you are a rising star in coaching. And
don't forget,
you know,
us.
I look at two guys that I've worked with. One was Tim Polasek. We all know where he is.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're the other guy.
I've always appreciated
the way you've recruited my guys and, you know, just how you handle things. So
thank
you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And thank
anytime.
You. Say hi to your dad for me.
Please.
I will. I'm staying there tonight. We're grilling out. We're going to have a couple of beverages. It's, you know, you don't see family enough.
Yeah,
it's the best.
You tell him that McGivern said wherever he was, they used to kick St. Joe's all over the place. It's good to see
so
you,
many
Coach.
Memories. So many memories.
Have a great day.
Thank you,
thanks,
guys.
Coach.
Let's
thanks
get to
out.
Our last guest is standing over there. He's Tony McCudden. He's going to join us next on the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We're live at Sussex Hamilton, and you know what? We spent a little too much time, and Andy's so good. But we cut Tony McCudden short.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on again.
Sorry about that, Tony. How
no
you been?
Problem. I'm never better.
Yeah, I apologize for that. It's really good to see you. You know, we were talking during the break that you have worn and wear a lot of hats at this combine. This thing has really, it's almost like this watch that just runs perfectly with the guys from Next Level, with your guys here. This has really become just a premier place for high school athletes to show their wares.
I agree, Mike. Thanks for having me. And this has just turned into such a, you know, this was the brainchild of the WFCA, and then they brought in Next Level, a group really that has kind of the same core tenets in terms of what they want to do for kids from Wisconsin. And for us to be able to bring 800 kids from around the state and let them be showcased in front of 100 college coaches is just an incredible, it's an incredible thing for me to be a part of, both as a parent, a high school football coach, and then as a partner at Next Level. It's just a great event. And again, I've been working the 40-yard dash line today, and, you know, I like to try to relax these kids and ask them where they're from. And, geez, you're just hearing it. You know, it's like a state map of just seeing all these corners of the state of Wisconsin and knowing that these kids are getting a shot to get great numbers by a third party, in this case Next Level, that they can put online, that they can put on their profiles, that they have a legit 40 time, they have a legit L drill time, vertical jump, and all the events that they're using today. And I just think it's a great thing for Wisconsin to be a part of.
Well, and what makes it that way, Tony, is Next Level. I mean, your reputation as an organization, and you know, and all the things you guys do in training, you know, professional athletes and college athletes and high school athletes. I mean, it's just, you know, when I talk to a lot of college coaches about our player profile thing, and when I talk to Wisconsin and Paul Christ about it, you know, one of the things he says is, oh, Next Level? Great. He goes, you know, that's comparing apples to apples. And for a college coach, that is it. So the legitimacy that Next Level gives us is so valuable.
I appreciate that, Tom. And again, when you look at the guys that have come through Next Level, I mean, it's easy to say the Watt boys, but you got guys like Chris Maragos and now the new class of soon-to-be NFL prospects, Alec James, who was on earlier, and you look at the training that they receive at Next Level along with what they receive at their high school level and then college level, it's really great for the kids of Wisconsin. And I hate to be so territorial, but I really think that the time has come. And when you think about the investment that the WFCA and places like Next Level have put into our kids, it's really, really kind of special now to see some of those kids at the NFL level playing Division I football and being on the map.
Well, and the other thing, Tony, that you've done for us on multiple occasions on this show, being a parent who has had a number of recruited, you know, football players' sons, you know, you've always given such great insight into the recruiting process. It's just been very valuable, and you know, we want to thank you for that as well.
Can I just go there for a second? And I apologize if I upset anybody listening or you, but your youngest son was, in my view, and I love Coach Cerrone at Oshkosh, just so under-recruited, it's not even funny. And the fact that if he had interest in playing at the Division I college here in the state of Wisconsin, if he had interest playing there and he's not able to, he was the best player in the best conference the last 2 years. And I'm frustrated. We haven't had this conversation, you and I, personally. But for the stuff I do every week, I get frustrated with stuff like that. I love that kid, and I think that a place like Wisconsin could say, okay, you know what, compete for special teams this year, compete for, you know, being a safety the following year. We don't have to worry about the kid in the classroom. We don't have to worry about him being a knucklehead. And so that's just my
– I agree, and I told this, Tony, and to Peter up at the All-State thing, you know, Peter was by far the most exciting player that I've seen the last 2 years, and you know, in my opinion, the best player in the state.
Do you get it? I don't get it.
I don't either.
So, look, Tony, I love you. You know what? I've known you for, you know, your whole life. I've known you.
Yes.
Your father, huge fan of his when he was with us. Your mom. So I had to get that off my chest.
Thank you, guys.
I love Peter McCutt. I just think and I love the fact he's gonna stay in the state. I just think he should be wearing red and white. That's just me. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Will you come back?
Anytime you guys want. I'm here
awesome.
For you.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for getting us here again.
Yeah.
And this is good stuff. We got to get out. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.